So I want to talk to you about God's promise of more. How many know God promises more? Keep this in mind, that God never promises less. If we experience less, that's not God. It's not God's promise to us. God's promise is more. We're going to read tonight from Deuteronomy 28. I've been wanting to do this for some time. And we're going to read the first 14 verses, although I will mention some other verses in the latter part of this chapter. But let's look at it together. It says, "Now it came to pass, and now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country." So it doesn't matter if you live in the city or the country, you can declare that blessing. "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl." And there's a story behind that one, which we'll not get into tonight. But he said, and then verse 6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you." And the word "afraid" here is actually translated "revere." They shall revere you or reverence you. And it's not that they're, it's not so much about you, but the God that's in you. Verse 11, "And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure." That sounds like Philippians 4:19 to me. That God supplies all you need according to his riches in glory. "He will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." Now borrowing is not a sin, but there is a curse attached with it. We'll talk about that. Verse 13, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I have commanded you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." I don't know if you paid attention to it as I studied it today. I've been studying for several days and looking at this, but how many times that God said, "I will do this"? And isn't it amazing all the things that God says, "I will do," we keep trying to do for him? Well, you know what? The "I wills" that God does, that's his grace. And, of course, that was ratified or confirmed in the new covenant. So thank God for that. Well, where we are in the setting of dealing with the children of Israel, as God made this promise, is he had just delivered the children of Israel out of 400 years of bondage as slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh. Now, we know that Egypt is a type of the world system, and that Pharaoh is a type of Satan, and so they just got free from that. As a matter of fact, I want you to see Genesis 15, verse 13, that tells about this. God's saying this. God said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and they will serve them," talking about Pharaoh and the Egyptians, "and they will afflict them 400 years. Then, here in Deuteronomy 28, God produces, or pronounces rather, conditional blessings and cursings. The reason they're conditional in the Old Covenant is because they're based on, if you do this, then I will do that. Well, God has given us His salvation package in the New Covenant. Thank God for that. And everything we obtain is not by our works, but by His grace. As a matter of fact, Sunday we're going to deal heavily with that fact, that there isn't anything you can do to get God to like you better. God loves you. He loves you so much, as a matter of fact, including the entire world, that He sent His Son to die for His beloved Son, the Scripture said, to die for the whole world. So thank God for the Father's heart toward us. But again, these were conditional, and many of them apply to today, especially the blessings. We declare those, but and we're still required to do the Word. But the thing that God did is, on all these things, He placed an opportunity to choose. And you know, we have the same opportunity today to choose. And again, we're going to touch really heavily on that on Sunday morning. Now, later on, God reminds them in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, there in your notes, and He says this, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." And so that's a very valuable verse of Scripture to us. We know that we choose life. Amen. We choose blessing. And choosing life and choosing blessing is not just life in Jesus Christ, but on a daily basis we need to choose blessing. On a daily basis we can choose cursing at any time and things that produce death, but thank God for blessing. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14 that we just read, God tells the children of Israel what is required for the blessing to come on them. But He also tells them from verses 15 to 68, I believe that's 52 verses, or thereabout, 53 verses, what will bring the curse on them and what the curse consists of. And I'm only going to read you two verses out of that, because in the listing of what is in the blessing, you will find health, prosperity, and life. How many know health, prosperity, and life is a good thing? How many know the opposite is not a good thing? Don't ever believe it's a good thing to have the opposite and anybody to tell you that, because in the listing of what is under the curse, you will find sickness, poverty, and death. Now, some good advice one time was, is that if you're going to read the list of cursings from verse 15 to 68, then with every verse, go ahead and read Galatians 3:13 mixed in there. Remind yourself that you're redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. I'm so glad we're just one of those churches that's not just a word of faith church, but we're also a grace church, and we're also a righteousness church, and we're also a just believe God's word church. Amen. In verse 15, here's what He says as He begins to talk about the cursings. God begins to tell them about it, and He says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Now, that's just the opposite of what verse 1 said, that if you'll hearken diligently to the Lord your God, to His word, do all the things He's commanded you to do, that all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Now, God says, if you don't listen to Me, here's what's going to happen, and it's going to overtake you. He ends the entire chapter in verse 68, and I just wanted to give you the first and the last. He said, "And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as males and female slaves, male and female slaves, and no one will buy you." That's horrible. That's horrible. I mean, how many times has God got to present before us and say, here's blessing and cursing, life and death. Which one are you going to choose? Well, duh. It's like, I don't want that stuff, okay? And so I strongly recommend, as horrible as verse 68 sounded, that you keep reminding yourself that you're redeemed from the curse of the law whenever you read Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. Now, again, thank God we're redeemed from the curse. There was more to the law of Moses and than just the Ten Commandments. Do you know that there were more things written in stone than just the Ten Commandments? As a matter of fact, let's just look here in Deuteronomy 27, verse 2, 3, and 4. This was they were taking the land, crossing the Jordan, and I encourage you to go back and read some of this stuff with moderation. It says, "And it shall be on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, and you that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you." A land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, promised you. So they wrote all of the rules and regulations that governed the people of Israel on big stones. Now, these aren't the ones that God hewed out and that Moses hewed out in the Ten Commandments, but there were some other writings. And I was thinking, you know, other than animal skins and such, probably stones is what they wrote on. But anyway, that just verifies some of that. So there were more laws printed on stone than just the Ten Commandments. And remember what the Bible tells us, and we'll go there in just a moment in 2 Corinthians 3:4 about those things that were written on stone. What these were was the ceremonial laws and the other laws that governed them, and they were both written in oral, but especially the ones that they were told to write down as Moses and some of the leaders dictated to them as they were going into the land. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 through 11. Let's look at that. "And we have such trust through Christ toward God." So our trust in God comes through Christ, our relationship with Jesus. And he says in verse 5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant, and not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And we've all heard Joseph Prince preach on this passage just, you know, multiple times. But so he goes on to say, "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stone," so we just saw where there was more than just the Ten Commandments written on stones, "if that was glorious, had some glory attached to it, so that the children of Israel could not steadily look at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" Praise the Lord. "For if the ministry of condemnation," now he just called it the ministry of death, now he's calling it the ministry of condemnation, "if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels." So what he's saying is that the previous glory, in a sense, had no glory because of the greater glory that was coming. Verse 11 says, "For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious." Now, I think that's a real important verse to those who still preach the law. He said that the thing that's passing away had glory, but the thing that remains, which is today, the glory of God of today, is much more glorious. The preaching of the law is passing away. The glory, the thing that makes somebody appeal to that, is passing away. But what God has done through Jesus Christ in the new covenant today is so awesome. And if anybody ever catches on, when just as all of us have been there, catches on to how great this new covenant. I love Hebrews chapter 8 about this new covenant. And if people catch on to that, then they'll see the greater glory, the greater blessing in not having to live under condemnation, under the guilt and shame of the enemy. And it does come from the enemy. So the preacher of the letter of the law will always produce death. That preaching will always produce death. When the law is preached, the scriptures tell us, death comes. Now, I don't know that it's a literal death, and that could certainly happen, but I think it will certainly contribute to a lesser quality of life, physically or mentally. How many knows that you can just live life and do nothing about, nothing with your Christianity and nothing with the Word of God other than the fact that you have a Bible? A lot of people have Bibles. Matter of fact, it's customary in many places to give Bibles, especially family Bibles, out at weddings. Now, it may stand as a centerpiece on the coffee table for the duration of their lives and never be opened and never study its pages. And how many know that that kind of word will not benefit anybody? You got to know what's in the book. Amen. And so, but if you're going to be in a place that's preaching the letter of the law, then know this, that it'll just continue to gnaw at you and eat at you and chop away at your life. But the word of the Spirit that's preached, filled with God's revelation of truth, will always produce life. It will always produce health. And I believe it will bless our flesh, our mind, our entire well-being. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 4 verse 21 says, "For they," referring to the words of God, you'll have to read that to understand that passage, "for they," for referring to the word of God, "are life." Those words of God are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So the word of God is health to our flesh. I mean, I'm telling you, when it comes to affliction, and we've encouraged us and encouraged us, and we all practice it, but when it comes to dealing with something that's trying to aggravate or get into your body, get the word of God out. I said to somebody the other day, and maybe you've done this many times, but I said to somebody the other day, I said, "Would you be willing to take a biblical prescription?" They said yes. So I gave them a biblical prescription. I heard Keith Moore do that, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And so I gave them a biblical prescription. Okay, here's what you need to do, and just do it so many times a day. And the end result is if you want better, if you want change, then you do it, and you do it until there is change, until you see the result of that. Well, let's go back one more time to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. A lot of tonight is scripture reading. And let's look at the God Word translation on this. I was very blessed by what I read. He said, "Carefully obey the Lord your God and faithfully follow all his commands that I'm giving you today. If you do, the Lord your God," now keep in mind, the old covenant is conditional, but we just want to see some things here. "If you do, the Lord your God will place you on high above all other nations in the world. These are all the blessings that will come on you and stay close to you because you obey the Lord your God." How many know that obeying the Lord today is important? Is important. I mean, God's not going to smack you upside the head if you disobey him, but it's like, you know, I had a word of prophecy many, many years ago. I was a younger minister, and my dad was actually the pastor, and I went to my dad and I said, "You know, I really had a word for someone tonight, and I was really bummed out because I did not obey the Lord." And my dad encouraged me in this. He said, "It's okay." He said, "It'll keep. God will save it for the next service. It's okay." Well, I got bummed out because I didn't obey the voice of the Lord. Well, you know, we do the same thing in scripture. Sometimes we see something and we don't do it, but we're learning to be doers. Amen. All right. Verse 3, "You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. You will be blessed." Now, this is just one statement here with a period. You will be blessed. I love that. You will be blessed. We are blessed. "You will have children. Your land will have crops. Your animals will have offspring. Your cattle will have calves. And your flocks will have lambs and kids. The grain you harvest and the bread you bake will be blessed." I mean, it's like these people can't get away from blessing. Verse 6, "You will be blessed when you come and blessed when you go. The Lord will defeat your enemies." Now, I'm going to tell you, if you have enemies, it's not because you made enemies, but someone decided to make themselves an enemy, inspired by the devil. You understand that this blessing still works. God will take care of your enemies. If you want to fight the battle, it could get much worse than what it previously was, but God will take care of you. Let's see. Verse 7, The Lord will defeat your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but run away from you in seven directions. The Lord will bless your barns and everything you do. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. You will be the Lord's holy people, and as he promised you with an oath, He will do this if you obey the commandments or the commands of the Lord your God and follow his directions. Then all the people in the world will see that you are the Lord's people, and they will be afraid of you. Again, that means to revere or to reverence. The Lord will give you plenty of blessings. How many likes plenty of blessings? How many prefer tomorrow you have lesser blessings? No, of course not. The Lord will give you plenty of blessings. You can see, if I read this passage, this translation, for any reason, that right there is good. The Lord will give you plenty of blessings. You will have many children. Your animals will have many offspring. Your soil will produce many crops. How many of you lay hands on your animals? How many of you lay hands on your ground that's not producing? Everything you touch is blessed. If you got something that's not producing, it's not working, try something different. Go lay hands on it and speak blessing on your ground, on your property. All right? Let's see. Your soil will produce many crops in the land the Lord will give you, and as he swore to your ancestors. Verse 12. The Lord will open up the heavens, his rich storehouse for you. Now, that's just one sentence in the God's Word translation. The Lord will open up the heavens, his rich storehouse for you. He will send rain on your land at the right time, and bless everything you do. You will be able to make loans to many nations, but you won't need to borrow it from any. You will make loans on many nations, but you won't need to borrow from any. I love that. Verse 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be at the top and never at the bottom if you faithfully obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. Do everything I'm commanding you. Never worship other gods or serve them. So that was quite a mouthful for the children of Israel. God's blessing. God intends for your life today to be much better than it was yesterday. And much better tomorrow. And much, much better next week. It's amazing all that Jesus went through, and this is somewhat what we're going to deal with Sunday morning. All that Jesus went through to get us blessed. All that Jesus went through to get us healed, and sometimes we settle for less. Okay? We can all just decide to take the limits off of settling for less and go ahead for everything God paid for through his son Jesus. Here's a verse in Isaiah 61, verse 7. I found this interesting. It says, instead of your shame, you will have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. So, do you know what brings joy to many people? And I'm just going to give you a little human lesson on some of the things that bring us joy. And we're faith people, so we may not want to admit this, but that's okay. Just listen to this, because I find it hard to deal with this in my mind. I'm a faith preacher. I make a faith confession. But here's what brings joy to many people, is not having to deal with the temptation of getting under pressure about the simple things in everyday life, okay? Where's the next meal going to come from, or where am I going to get my next paycheck, or there's a bill due and I can't pay it. And that creates the temptation to get under pressure. And I'll tell you what, that sometimes does not bring joy. Now, we have to find our joy in the Lord, right? Okay, our joy is in the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength and all of that. But even though we continue to cast our cares on the Lord, and how many know we ought to do that? How often do you ought to do that? Every time you have a care. Every time something bugging you, every time something, and usually that's daily, there's something, some issue, someone, and we got to cast that over on the Lord. But even though we do that, the better position is to have no cares to cast on him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, I have to run back here real quick in this verse, in the God's Word translation. Verse 11 said, the Lord will give you plenty of blessings. The Lord will give you plenty of blessings. And down in verse 12, the latter part of verse 12, he said, you will be able to make loans to many nations, but won't need to borrow from any. That's cool. All right, so it's better to have a position of having no cares to cast on him. And so if we do, then we do. But how many know this, that God's true heart for our financial well-being is revealed in verse 12 when he said you will be able to make loans to many nations or give to other people, in other words, but you won't need to borrow from anyone. That's God's heart for us. God wants us to be in that position. So how do we get in that position? It doesn't just magically take place one day. We keep on declaring the Word of God. As we talked about last Sunday, you keep declaring the Word no matter what you see, what you feel, who says what. Keep declaring the Word of God. And the Word of God works. I mentioned Sunday morning that I had read, someone said that if you keep saying the Word long enough, you'll have what you say. Well, keep saying the Word. All right, now, how many know that occasionally we have had some troubles come our way? Okay, we don't like it. Maybe we didn't even ask for it, but it seems like sometimes troubles come. Well, it doesn't come from God. I mean, that's just the bottom line right there. It does not come from God, but it comes from the enemy trying to orchestrate a discouraging opportunity for us. He is trying to get you to say, okay, I'm going to take the bait and I'm going to get really discouraged because I didn't want this trouble, but it came and here it is, and I'm just going to get really down about it. Well, we don't have to get down and discouraged about it, because the joy of the Lord is our portion, as the scripture said to us earlier in Isaiah. Dr. Larry Ollison said this. He said, God has a plan for your life, but so does the devil. You choose which plan goes into effect. I like that. We implement God's plan for our lives through obedience and faithfulness to his word. The devil's plan for your life is put into operation in the same way. When you listen to him and do what he says, you get his plan for your life. When you listen to the devil and you do what he says, you get his plan. But how many know that when we listen to God and be doers of the word, we get God's plan for us? See, God has a plan, but God doesn't impose or force his plan on us. We got to choose to do God's word. Praise you, Jesus. Now, God's word said, that we just read in Isaiah, that you'll receive double for any trouble that comes your way. Well, this is kind of my take on that. If the enemy has been trying to give you even one trouble, however it gets there, how he does some things is maybe beyond us. We know that he lies, and we're not buying the lie. We've determined not to buy the lie. But when trouble tries to come, you can expect to receive from God a double portion of blessing. Now, how many know God goes beyond double, but I'm just trying to make a point here. So whatever the enemy tries to do, however the enemy's messing with you, instead of cave into his stuff, go ahead and just instantly go ahead and expect God to bless you double because of what the enemy's trying to do to you. God wants to give you a double portion blessing for every kind of trouble you go through. So I think we could look back and say, you know, I recognize that something was stole from me here. Something was lost here. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go ahead and claim the blessing of God on that. I'm going to claim restoration on that. I'm going to get back what the enemy stole. And even the things he tried to steal, that's going to cost him. All right? Remember again, the devil's plan is put into operation when we listen to him and do what he says. That's when we get the devil's plan to work in our lives. Don't ever think that God is behind your troubles. I hear that so much. You don't have to hang around the hospital long, or in some places, you all know what I'm saying. And there's somebody that's going to let you know that God did it. Okay? I remember the other day, Darlene was conveying to someone some of the things that I have shared and how I was once told that God did it. You ever told God did it? You're going through something and somebody told you, you know, God did that. I always had a hard time with putting the two things together. God did it and my loving Heavenly Father. I just couldn't seem to fit them into the same box. Well, the truth is, we know John 10:10, the New Living Translation says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. That kind of sounds like what God was saying to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 28. Sometimes the problem you may face could be one. I heard Joseph Prince say this. I don't know whether I ought to say this or not, but I will. Sometimes the problem you face could be the one you see in the mirror every morning. You ever been your own problem? Boy, I have. Whew. We don't want that. How many know the enemy always inspires that stuff? But you know, sometimes we face that. Well, anyway, any moment you respond to God in faith, no matter if you did it, if the devil's trying to stir it up, if somebody's messing with you, regardless of what it is. How about this? What if you just flat messed up in life? I want to tell you what you can do. You can go ahead and respond to God in faith. Right then and there. Your loving Heavenly Father will get involved in bringing restoration to your life. Okay? He wants to get involved. You remember the message, I guess it was last Wednesday, talking about the Holy Spirit. How that He doesn't pray unless you pray. He's wanting to do something in your life, in my life, in our lives, and He's waiting for us to pray so that He can pray the will of God. Well, God, when we're sitting down moping, over, look at the mess I made. We're looking in the mirror now, okay? And look at the mess I made. Look what I did. Look how I goofed everything up. I don't know if anything can ever be right again because I messed it up so bad. No, at that moment, just go ahead and respond to God in faith. God will get involved in your situation and bring restoration to you. Joseph Prince said this, and I'm going to read a couple of statements by him as we come to a close tonight. Joseph Prince said, God does not restore to you the same amount that you have lost. You always get more than before, if not in quantity, then in quality. You will be at a higher place than before. And so I want to say to us as a church tonight that you can expect to be stronger, healthier, wiser, wealthier, and experiencing more peace than ever when you go ahead and say, you know what, I'm just going to stay in faith with God. I'm not going to get in agreement with the devil. We know that Satan's behind all the trouble that's out there. But you know what? Here's something that's important. Remember the story of Job, and we're not going to read anything about it, but I just want to give you a little history on Job. The truth is that Satan was behind the trouble that Job faced. Now, Job didn't, you know, there's none of us smart enough to drum up the stuff that comes our way. But Satan was behind that trouble. And what happened to Job was he responded to God in faith. You say, well, Job seemed like a pretty weak guy. Well, we've all heard stories about Job, but Job responded to God in faith, and God took it upon himself to restore to Job everything that he had lost. Now, here's kind of a rundown of what God did for Job. The Bible tells us that Job received double in terms of quantity, from 7,000 sheep that he had lost to 14,000 sheep, 3,000 camels to 6,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen to 1,000 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys to 1,000 female donkeys. And then, you know, also Job lost some children. Now, giving animals back, that's one thing. How do you get your kids back? Well, obviously, he didn't get the same kids back. So for those that have had a loss, we have had a loss in our family, my next to the youngest brother some years ago. But you know what the reality is that I've got other brothers. Most of them are not blood. They are in the faith. And they're very precious. And so we get much more. You can keep looking at the loss and dwelling on the loss and saying, look at everything I've lost. And even Job's wife, remember that? That Job's wife said, you know what? You've lost everything. You might as well curse God and die. And the Bible says that Job would not do that. All right? So in terms of his children that he had lost, God restored to him in terms of quality. His daughters were the fairest in all the land. Now that's a great story. Job is not looked at as a great story, but a great story is one that has a great ending, and it has a great ending. Amen. And so, if Job, who was not under the new covenant, now keep this in mind, because most of everything we've read tonight was under the old covenant, and if Job, who was not under the new covenant, could be blessed with double for the trouble that he went through, then how much more should we, who are under the new covenant, expect to receive from God? Well, what I'm telling you tonight is that God is a God who promises more than where you're at right now. I can't give you a scripture that says, here's where you are today, and here's what you're going to have tomorrow. I can't multiply all of that. I'm just going to just tell you that where you are right now, God is a God who promises you more than where you are. And so I think every one of us are in a position for more. Anybody here that's just got so much you don't want no more? You ever told God, God, please stop blessing me. I've got too much already. No. Keep blessing me, God. Why? It's going beyond just us. God's setting us up so we can bless others too. So God not only restores double, threefold will come, fivefold, sevenfold, more. There's really not a limit on what God will do for you. The Bible tells us, once again, in Philippians 4:19, that our God, Paul said this, that my God shall supply all my need. And how many know that you can be in a position to never stop having a need? What I mean by that is you may have all your debt paid off. You may have the best vehicles, the best clothes, the best house, and still have a need because you have a need to give to other people. You have a need to like someone said, if you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. I like that. I like that. So if you've experienced loss in your life, and I think we all have, I wrote in big letters in my notes, no matter whose fault it was, this is grace, okay? Let's don't look at the if you do, if, then God will do. And if you don't, then man, you're getting set up for a curse. No matter whose fault it was, begin to believe God's promise of blessing and expect to receive double and even more. And so what if this became your prayer starting tonight, maybe first thing in the morning, however it is you do it, and you just begin to release your faith. And begin to say, you know what, God, I recognize this was an area I didn't want to have less in, but less came. And so whatever the fault is, don't spend hours in prayer and hours in therapy and hours in, you know, places of solitude trying to figure out why did this happen. If you really need to know that bad, here's an answer. Ask God. Okay, he'll tell you all you need to know about it. And but don't worry about whose fault what was and why did I lose this and where did I go wrong. And, you know, I'd just be more concerned with, you know, okay, there was a loss. Okay, that part I got. That's the easy part. And I know that that's not where God wants me, so I'm believing God for more. So I'm believing God for some of these scriptures that told us that we could have more. Isaiah, if I can find it real quick, said, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. The everlasting joy shall be theirs. How many know we can have as much as you can stand to have? So by faith, get ready for God's restoration. You can do that by faith. Amen?